Welcome to the weekly broadcast of the Father's House International in Westminster, South Carolina. We are bringing forth and reestablishing the apostolic message, movement, and ministry, and God's fatherhood and family in all dimensions. We are a local, regional, and national ministry that is cross-cultural and multiracial. Now, here is our founder and host, Dr. Seymour.
Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you." So what God says to do is first seek the kingdom. Also, God says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, forsake ye not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is so much the more as we see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. So if we forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, we will sin willfully. First of all, by not being in the house of God. He said, be there. Amen. So this is what we need to know. God's purpose for you is not just a husband, a wife. That's not total fulfillment. Even though if it's a good marriage, it's a lot of fulfillment. Not just for you to have children, even though reproduction keeps people in the earth. Yes, it does. But the main thing God wants for you is for you to be his sons and daughters. Because he's a father. He's a father of the fatherless. A judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. Psalm 68, verse 5. God setteth. If you have on a ring, a diamond, that diamond is set in that ring right there. It's not going anywhere, right? So God setteth the solitary in families. Solitary are those who can be properly united with him. You can't really be part of a family if you're not properly united with them. You can't be. You understand what I'm saying? So what does he do? If I can really become his, he'll set me in a family. Like a diamond in a ring, I'll stay there. Different families. The divine family in heaven. The spiritual ministry church family in the earth. Domestic family, biological families. Even if you work for somebody, like if you really are committed to them, they are to you. They almost can be like a father in ways that helps raise you up and shows you how to do that work. It's just the way it works. It's the way it works. So, the main purpose for you in life, the number one ultimate purpose, is for God to have you in his church, in his kingdom, where you take your part and God raises you up to do what you are to do in his church, in his kingdom.
Yes, sir.
You see that?
Yes, sir.
So anyway, my purpose in life, thank God for my wife, thank God for my children, but my ultimate purpose is for God. What am I to do for the Lord? To help him in his church so other people can come in and find him and know him and ascend in progress up into him all the way.
Yes, sir.
That seek ye what? First. First, foremost, last and all, the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Amen.
And all these other things will be added unto you. They will. All of them. So, what does God do? If you'll say, okay, Lord, I want to really be part of your kingdom. Here I am. What do I do? God will assign everybody in the world for a purpose and something inside his church. The number one thing. So God has said in the church, first apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist, for the perfecting of the saints, perfecting, see that, completed, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That word edifying, structure, order, look it up, Greek. Structure, order, government. Everywhere you go, you're under government. You believe that's so?
Yes, sir.
You're under it. Well, how good it is who you under. If you're under the right person, it is a flow. It's a pouring. Rain pours from my brain. You see this right here? It comes down into my body. But my spirit man is down here. I'm born again down here.
Yes, sir.
And then God has to, He's king here, and he has to make my soul servant.
Yes, sir.
my soul, my mind, emotions, will, to serve what God wants me to do and make my body a slave that will do what God wants, what my soul says, and here I am. So he sent some in the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, for the perfecting, the completion, the perfecting, the maturing of the saints, for the edifying of the body, the order, the government, the structure, on and on and on and on. What's your place? Where you fit? What is this? What? You can only be your best at what giftings God gave you. Everybody has to find out what you're supposed to do in life. What do I do? But the big thing is, what do I do for God? So everybody has a place in God, if you will allow it to be. But here's the good thing. You want to see this?
Yes, sir.
Hebrews 6 and 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love that you have showed toward his name, in that you minister to the saints and you do minister. God is not unrighteous to forget what I do for him. And don't you be unrighteous to forget what God does for you. You see that? Aren't you glad that God takes notice of everything you do? So God is not unrighteous. He's not unjust. He's not unrighteous. He's not unjust to forget, to lose out of his mind, to forget what you have showed toward his name, that you have manifested toward his name, give yourself wholly, in that you minister to the saints, believers, Christian saints, people of God. You minister what God will not forget. Listen to me. According to scriptures, he won't forget what you do. The most important thing is what you do for him and what you do for the people of God.
Yes, sir.
Any good thing he won't forget, but especially what you do for him. Anybody here?
Yes, sir.
Well, we must all be continually, and a lot of people don't know this, we must all be continually engaged in ministry. Yes, you have a domestic house, you have this, yes you do. If you have a husband and wife, yes. If you have children, yes. If you have a job, yes. If you have a business, yes. But what God is interested in is, how are you toward him? And what are you doing for him? So we must all be continuously engaged in ministry some way. Everyone was born to be continuously engaged in ministry. God in ministry is the main focus of your life and the people of God. Do you see? Now the Apostle Paul told son Timothy not to neglect the gift of God that is in thee, which was given unto thee. Neglect not the gift of God. So everybody has a gift of God inside you to do something for God. Everybody. There's no one living that doesn't have giftings to do something for God. There's no one living that doesn't have giftings to do something in a workplace. Everybody has given giftings to God. Charisma. Charisma. The Greek word. So charisma. Till I come give attendance. We'll talk about charisma here a little bit. Till I come give attendance to reading, to exhortation of doctrine. You know, the Apostle Paul said, son Timothy, spiritual son Timothy, till I come and see you, you keep studying the Bible. Stay in the doctrine.
Yes, sir.
Neglect not the gift of God that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery.
Yes.
Neglect not, don't put it aside, don't make light of it. Don't make light of the gift of God. The gift of God, the word charisma. Charisma is a divine gratuity. It's something that God gives. A gratuity. It's something God gives, a divine gratuity. It's actually deliverance from danger. What God puts inside you can convict you enough to keep you out of danger. To keep you out of sin. Come on, somebody. Say, okay, for your conscience, I can't do that. But something bigger than my conscience is my spirit man. Down here, God says, no, don't do that. Cause you trouble. Cause you trouble, right?
Yes,
see that? And so if you don't obey it, you get in trouble. All right. So a spiritual qualification, a religious qualification, a spiritual endowment. Everybody is endowed by giftings that was given to thee by prophecy. In other words, the Apostle Paul is talking to his spiritual son, Timothy. He was telling him here, he said, this gift that's given you, this divine influence upon the heart, the spirit and the soul, and this reflection in the life. He said it was given you by prophecy, He said the Lord saw that and prophesied what you would do. Amen. Spoke it out. And he said, and by the laying on of the hands. Now watch this right here. The word hands in Greek is chair. C-H-E-I-R or I-E-R. Chair. Chimon. Laying on of hands then was not just that, but there was something that poured out of the hand to the person. Think about love deep down inside you pours out to others. See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? God pours himself out to you. If you pour yourself out to him, he will pour himself out to you without a doubt. How many won't mind God pouring himself out upon you? How many see that? So with the laying on, and this word laying on, like superimposition, this word epi, it's a Greek word epi, something imposed upon somebody, of the hands of the presbytery, the hands. And this word charisma takes you to the word chasma. A chasma is a chasm. A chasm is an impassable interval. You can't get from there to there except by certain means. In the Bible, as you know, I believe it's Luke 16, there was a rich man who fared sumptuously. Very rich, had all that he wanted, everything. Then he fared sumptuously. Then there was the beggar, Lazarus, who desired to eat crumbs falling from his table. Well, it looked like the beggar, who was he? Looked like he was a loser. No, he had leprosy. He was not supposed to be around people, all that. So the Bible says the rich man died and was buried and lifted up his eyes in hell. Lazarus died and was taken to Abraham's bosom back before Jesus came to the earth. Everybody who belonged to God, there's always been a hell. Somebody said, I don't believe in hell. Well, that's your choice. One day you'll find out. If you don't go, you'll find out there was one. If you do go, you find out it is. So, I mean, hell is real, okay? Listen, the main thing I don't want to go, I don't go to hell. I can tell you that's number one for me. Oh, Lord, no. Please. So, people who died before then, Abraham, father of a multitude, that's his name. There was a place called Upper Sheol. It was like paradise, but not the third heaven. And departed saints would go there in Abraham's bosom. Abraham would be there and different, all the men of God, Moses, all those people, they would be there. But they were there. The Bible says that when Jesus came, he led captivity captive. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. They were with God there in Abraham's bosom, but not in the third heaven yet. So anyway, when Jesus came and he walked in the earth, crucified, had his back striped for the healing of the nations, right? His back looked like the plower's field. Flesh, my God. He went to Gethsemane first. Not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. And then finally went to the cross. And when he gave up the ghost, he immediately took the blood that he had shed, presented to the Father that comes back, and he, the Apostle Paul said, and he led captivity captive. Yes, sir. He went and took the key. I'm he that liveth and was alive, and I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. I've got the keys. He went and unlocked paradise. Walked in. And the thief on the cross. There are two thieves on the cross. One on this side, one on that side. Jesus in the middle. One of them was cursing, all that, reviling him. But there's one, the other thief said, Lord, please, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Will you please let me go with you? And he said, this day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. This day I'm going to take you by the hand. Hallelujah. I'm going to lead you. Oh, hallelujah to God. I'm going to take you by the hand, lead you off this cross. I'm going to lead you into up Sheol, hallelujah. And then when I come in, they see me, they're going to be resurrected. And we're going to the third heaven. Well, we would go to the third heaven. We wouldn't go to upper paradise. But So anyway, there was a gulf. See, the rich man said to Lazarus, Lord, would you send Lazarus? I've got four or five brothers left that could take water and put it on their tongue. And he said, no, if they didn't hear Moses and the prophets, they won't hear you, right? And so anyway, that's what he did. So anyway, there was a gulf fixed. The man in hell couldn't get over there to upper paradise. And the people in upper paradise couldn't get over to hell. It's a chasm. It's an impassable. The Grand Canyon. It's impassable. It's an impassable interval. You can't jump from here over there. Well, hell and God, when you get there, it's a chasm. It's an impassable interval. Amen. So when God, you come in, come with God, he puts you in a chasm. A chasm. If you really, 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 really do belong to God, hell can't get to you, and you're not going to go over there. Or the real bad, awful things can't get to you if you really, 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 really get chasm. And you're not going to go over there either. You see that? How many understand that? Well, that's a chasm. So he said, this gift, neglect not the gift of God, but by the laying on of hands, by the presbytery, the elders, those who had that position in the house of God. When I was ordained, they read before me and they laid hands on me and they ordained me. Yes, I got papers, yes. And I've ordained people myself. You know, we have a corporation, we can do that. But there's a conferring. It's a conferring what's on them, hopefully to come upon you. A conferring. When the President of the United States is sworn in, it's a conferring giving him that office. That make sense to you? So, when hands were laid upon, how many knows when God lays his hands upon you, something pours out of him to you? When a real man of God, if there's a real man of God or a real person of God, will lay their hands on you to pray for you, if they really have God, God will pour out through them to you. How many wouldn't mind that? Right? Amen. Immerse yourself in God. Meditate upon these things. 1 Timothy 4:15. Give thyself wholly to them completely, that thy profiting may appear to all. Give thyself wholly, entirely to them. Give thyself wholly and entirely to them, that thy profiting, thy advancement, thy driving forward may appear to all. Well, if you really do have God, if you do, God in you will appear. They will look at you and say, that person has God. That person is not the average kind of person. It's sad if you can walk up to somebody and they don't know you have God. I mean, some people, they can just feel something about them, right? Well, it's not anything, it's not spooky. It's just God the way it is. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them on and on and on. The apostolic doctrine, the whole thing of God. On and on and on and on and on and on. Now we are commanded by God through the Apostle Paul that we stir up the gift of God that is in us. All of you have a charisma. There are seven charismas in the New Testament in Romans chapter 12. One is prophecy. That doesn't mean you're prophesying. It means you're somebody who calls white, white, black, black. There's no middle ground. You're either there or you're not. You're either in it or you're not in it. Then there's the one that's exhortation. Yes, exhortation. Everybody is born with at least a charisma. If you never get born again by God, if you go to hell, you still have a charisma. It's an ability God put inside you. Yes, and a charisma is 24 hours a day. You can wake up at 3:00 in the morning and it'll just happen to you. That's the way you'll kind of behave. So exhortation is a kind of exhorting people. So an exhorter would say, if you'll just pray, read your Bible, come to church, you'll be okay. They kind of lifting you up like that. Well, that's not all the answers, but it's a help, right? There's not a lot of details in it. Then there's he that serveth. There are people who serve. That is their gifting. If somebody who serves and that and they're anointed, they are anointed and able to serve like nobody in the whole world can serve. If you were to have a flat tire in the car, they'd be the first one to jump out and try to jack the car up. He let me do it. 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 They're driven to help bring things to pass in people. They're driven. Well, be driven to bring things to pass for God like that. And then there's teacher, he that teacheth. Somebody who, that doesn't just mean you're a teacher, but the enablement upon you, inside you, you have teaching ability. You're very methodical, methodical. Somebody who's not methodical, they say, how do you get to Westminster? Go down here, turn left, get on Highway 1, you'll get there. Well, they're not methodical. I mean, they're telling you what they know. But they'll say, go down here 200 feet, turn left, mailbox, turn here, the stream, another street, another stop sign, White House up here. And by the time you get there, they say, yeah, I'm here, right? So that's somebody who's very methodical. They go through steps about you. And it's called an unction, huh? It's a motivation. So if somebody's motivated inside to be methodical, everything they do will be methodical. You do this, that, and the other. So I say, come on, hurry, hurry, hurry. I don't have that much time, but they're still methodical. They are. And then giving. Some people live to give. Some people have businesses and jobs to give to God. Give. It's an anointing and enablement of God, right? The two brothers, Zebulun and Issachar. Issachar knew the mind of God, knew the things of God, the secrets of God. Zebulun, he worked, he made the money to support his brother.
Yes, sir.
So people work. You have to live, have to support yourself, but but their main goal, they're so unctionized by it, they give to the work, they give to the work of God. And the more they give, the more money God gives them. It's a motivation, it's a charisma. And he that ruleth, let him do it with simplicity. And don't overrule. There's a thing called rule, but overrule is bad. Someone who ruleth, or someone who they have the plan, they see how the structure is, they see how it comes together, they'd be methodical too. So they know that, and so they're very responsible kind of people. And they have it all set up here, this, that, and the other. And then he that showeth mercy, somebody who showeth mercy, anybody on the side of the road, they pick up everybody. Have the car flow down with everybody. My God, can't even feed themselves. Got everybody. I mean, if you have immature mercy, immature mercy, you'll pick up this, pick up everything, pick up this. After a while, you won't have anything yourself. But real mercy from God is having compassion, having consideration about somebody else's situation or their needs. So he that showeth mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Not like, oh my God, I'm so weighted down. Oh. I mean, we do get weighted down. But somebody with mercy, they do it with cheerfulness. I'm glad to help you. I'm glad. So everybody breathing has at least one of those charismas. Whether you're born again, whether you go to heaven or hell. But if you get born again, God will anoint it, enhance it, make it greater. And you're motivated like that. Somebody who's motivated giving, you need some money? I'll buy you some gas. You know, that's them. They can't help it. God put it in them. And if somebody's motivated like that and they have wisdom, they won't give everything so they don't have anything to eat. They'll be okay. All right. So a charisma. Neglect not the gift, the charisma that God has placed in you. Hear that? Don't neglect it. No, you better use it. You better use it. All right, now here, one last little deal right here, real quickly. Whatever you're called to do, whatever God has unctionized you to do, you're to always stir up the gift inside you. Keep them stirred up. Whatever's in me, I keep it stirred up. If I'm an athlete, if I don't keep that stirred up and practice, I can't do it. Everything has to be stirred up. You have to keep stirred up. If you're married to a husband and wife and you never show them, you don't stir it up, they don't know who you are. You have to stir up what God puts inside you. Now, this one last little deal here. The Apostle Paul wrote to his son Archippus, take heed to fulfill the ministry that thou hast received. Colossians 4:17, I say to Archippus, Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. In other words, everybody breathing has some kind of ministry or thing they have to do for God. Whether they do it or not, whether they come to church or not, whether they ever get saved or not, that's what you were supposed to do. Everybody breathing has something to do to help others. It's just the way it works. Archippus was like one of the leaders in the church at Colossae. So the Apostle Paul said, take heed that you fulfill the ministry God's given you. You better take heed to fulfill your purpose in life. You do. Don't leave the earth one day and you have wasted all of the giftings God gave you. Neglect not the gift of God that was given to you by the putting on of hands. Stir up the gift of God. Keep it ignited to fulfill it. I want to serve the purpose of God in my generation. I want to serve the purpose of God in my generation. I want to serve the purpose of God while I am alive. I want to give my life for something that will last forever. Oh, I delight to do your will. What is on your heart, God? Tell me what to do. Let me know your will and I will follow thee. I want to serve the purpose of God in my generation. I want to fill my place.
Yes, sir.
Wherever you work or have a job or have a business, you're filling a place there.
Amen.
Fulfill what you are gifted to do. But the number one thing, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as a man or some is. And also seek ye first. First, foremost, and last is God.
Amen.
How many desire to fulfill the will of God in your generation? I desire to fulfill it. God, we want to fulfill it. We do. I want to serve the purpose of God in my generation. I want to serve the purpose of God while I am alive. I want to serve the purpose of God in my generation. Oh, I delight to do your will. You see? So, Lord, what is on your heart? I know I found out what he's called me to do. But a lot of people don't know. They have to find out. They have to discover. I had to discover. How many of you had to discover what you're supposed to do? We don't know that when we're born most of the time. We have to come into it. Well, how many want to fulfill your purpose in life that God has given you? Well, God knows what you're to do. Aren't you glad you have a destiny that you know you shall fulfill? You have a destiny in that city on the hill. I have a destiny. It's not an empty wish. For I was born for such a time as this. How many glad you have a destiny that God gave you?
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
We trust that you've been helped during today's broadcast with Dr. Seymour from the Father's House International. Join us right here on WGOG every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We invite you to come be with us in our weekly services at the Father's House International, Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. We are located at 415 Pateras Way, Westminster, South Carolina. For directions or additional information, call us at 864-647-7777. That's 864-647-7777. Until next week, may you allow God to bring you into a greater measure of His truth and a deeper level of relationship with Himself.